Thanks for checking out Podcasts on the Gin. The latest episode of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn starts now.
And we welcome you aboard on a beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you for the next 2 hours, whether you like it or not. Learn to accept it. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and on the KGYM app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, do so. It is well worth your time, and so is today's show. Michael Swain, who covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports, is going to stop by and chat Cyclones football and basketball with us in about 25 minutes. It is National Cat Day today. Alex, could you think of a more appropriate day to discuss the Northwestern Wildcats than on National Cat Day?
No, I couldn't.
Cat, are you a cat also, guy?
I don't dislike cats. I know that there are a lot of people out there. There are some people who are huge dog lovers who are like, I hate cats. I don't dislike cats, but I wouldn't call myself a cat guy. I know you kind of are.
Look, I love dogs. I like animals. But cats, I was not necessarily a cat person when I was younger, and I grew into a cat person in college because my roommate had a cat, and that thing wound up being my best friend for a couple years, which says more about me than it does about the cat. But we will discuss Northwestern football, the Wildcats, if you will, with our good friend Paul M. Banks. He's coming up with us at 5 o'clock. We've even got a face-off on tap for you today at 5:30. Great prize on tap. Should be an Amazon Echo. Double-check that Buttons has secured one of those. That's coming up again as we round out drive time, brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Lots to get to today. A very newsworthy day. We got some Iowa football transfer news. We'll touch on that coming up on the big board. Alex, there are two things going on today that we lead off with. One of them is Big Ten related. The other one is related to Major League Baseball. And I think it's germane to start in the Big Ten because the situation between Nebraska and Wisconsin, well, it came to a conclusion yesterday. And we know that the game is not going to be played on Saturday. The latest development today was Nebraska trying to line up a non-conference game in Lincoln this weekend against the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and doing so apparently on its own without running this by Kevin Warren and the Big Ten office. And Nebraska sort of gets embarrassed here because the Big Ten says, we're not granting you permission to play this game. It's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Should Nebraska have been allowed to play a non-conference game this weekend? Yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his staff doing outstanding work since 2003. What do you think, Alex? Is it fair that the Big Ten steps in and says, look, you play Wisconsin or you don't play at all this weekend, and you're not playing Wisconsin, so you're not playing?
I think back to the beginning of this whole saga when the Big Ten was the first conference to announce that they were going to a conference only schedule. And I don't even know what month that was in anymore. I'm guesstimating sometime around June. All these months are and days are running together. We've established that. But the Big Ten said, no, we're going to play in conference only because we want everybody to be on the same page as far as testing protocols and as far as scheduling and it being able to adjust. And we're not going to allow Iowa to play Northern Illinois and UNI, even though geographically it would make sense. But they said conference games only. And it seems like that's what they're saying now. Like, what about conference games only do you not understand, Nebraska? Like, we've been saying this for 5 months. You know the rules, right? Well, apparently not. Apparently they didn't, or they were just trying to rile up the bait. I don't know what they're doing, but it was clear to me that this has been established for a long time, and you should have known the rules.
Did you see the poll last night that was commissioned on Twitter by Nebraska's radio broadcast partnership? This is the official radio partner of Nebraska last night, asking that if the shoe were on the other foot, would Nebraska have played the game on Saturday? It got a lot of traction last night, and not necessarily for the right reasons. It was up for a couple hours before it was essentially finally deleted mercifully. But this is not some grand scheme to go about punishing the Nebraska football program. And they continue to make so much noise about this that they had to put out, the school today put out a statement, in part addressing the fact that they won't be able to play UT Chattanooga this weekend, and sort of almost begrudgingly saying, look, ever since we started this whole thing, the health and safety of the players has been important to us, and so everybody get well at Wisconsin. And I see both sides to this, which is never good in sports talk radio, because you, quite frankly, if you see both sides, you're not really that interesting. Take a side, take a stand, say something. But I get where Nebraska's coming from. They want to be able to play a football game this weekend, but it's not necessarily fair if you make everybody else play a Big Ten only slate, and a team could go out and play a non-conference opponent that's likely a win, and then you have to sort that out at the end of the season when everything is all coming into place as far as the postseason picture goes. Not that I think Nebraska is going to be in that particular picture when everything is said and done, but it certainly would add a wrinkle. And as you said, the Big Ten had stringent procedures in place for a reason. You don't want to bring somebody from outside that, I don't want to call it a bubble because the Big Ten isn't in a bubble, but the Big Ten universe, they're playing within the Big Ten universe this year and only within the Big Ten universe. Well, I know they say that testing is very stringent at UT Chattanooga. You cannot convince me that they have the testing capabilities to prevent cases from slipping through the cracks more so than a Big Ten team does. You're opening yourself up to a possible issue there. So I'm on board. I think the Big Ten made the right call here. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Hit us up on the text line. You can pick up the phone and give Buttons a call as well. Did the Big Ten make the right call in telling Nebraska, just, hey, grab a Runza, sit back, kick your feet up, and enjoy a weekend of football while you regroup and get ready for the next game on your schedule? 366-1600. By the way, I've never had a Runza. What the hell is a Runza? I know it's a Nebraska thing. You go to a game there, and it's Runza this, Runza that. But it's never piqued my curiosity enough to say, isn't it? It's like they sell them at gas stations or something, right? Somebody enlighten me on this. I feel, as a guy who's eaten his fair share of gas station food in his life, that I should know what these things are.
I have never heard of that in my entire life, so you have me beat on that. What I have no idea what a Runza is, but I do know that I can guarantee you that UT Chattanooga does not have the testing capabilities of anybody in the Big Ten. That's what I can guarantee you of. The Ohio Valley has they're kind of every team to themselves, and some of these schools don't have anywhere near the amount of money to be able to effectively test their players. In fact, earlier in the summer, right before a lot of teams were getting into camp, one of my friends who actually plays in the Ohio Valley, not at UT Chattanooga, but another school, was saying that they weren't testing, that he believed that they may have 30 or 40 guys on the team that had the coronavirus. And my question for UT Chattanooga is, are you testing players every day, or are you just saying at the end of the week, all right, everybody head to the local med stop and get tested? Because that's exactly what some schools are doing. The University of South Dakota comes to mind. So when you look at the Big Ten, this is the last thing that they want, a school coming in and possibly getting Nebraska infected and then costing more games for future, either the Nebraska or future Big Ten opponents. So I understand it from that standpoint. And yes, okay, Nebraska, they want to play a football game this weekend, but you're not going to get any favors or sympathy from the Big Ten. You know that.
414, the text line is lighting up about Runzas. I did not realize that they were as popular among some of our listeners, or at least the knowledge base of our listeners was as pertinent as it is when it comes to Runza. It is a fast food franchise in Nebraska. So right there, I imagine a lot of folks in Cedar Rapids are already intrigued. A franchise? Tell me more. A Runza, Alex, is basically, it's like a Hot Pocket from the looks of it. This is their own website, by the way, the description. A sandwich featuring fresh baked bread stuffed with ground beef, onions, our secret blend of spices, and yes, cabbage. So it's like sort of like a made right hot in a Hot Pocket, and people go nuts for them in Nebraska. Whatever,
I'll try anything once.
Whatever trips your trip. Apparently, they're very versatile. You can make them however you so. This flavor, that flavor. Buttons, you ever had a Runza before? He's shaking his head on the other side of the glass. Iowa does not play in Lincoln this year. The game is in Iowa City, so no Runzas for me. 416-319-3600 again. The text line, we'll get into Iowa State, Kansas, coming up. Michael Swain of 24/7 Sports with us in just a little bit. And I see Ed going and making a Billy Joe Shaver reference on the text line. I didn't mention this yesterday, Billy Joe Shaver passing away, fantastic country artist, great songwriter, tremendous singer. Jerry Jeff Walker and Billy Joe Shaver passing away within 4 days of each other. This is bad. It's a bad week for me. Made all the worse by the fact that we continue to have to deal with the storylines that we do here in 2020. 366-1600. The other story that we need to get to here, Alex, is the White Sox. They went and did it. And I don't think that there's any possible way that you can possibly defend this as a good move on the part of the Chicago White Sox. But they went and did it. They indeed did hire Tony La Russa to take over the reins of a young, promising, up-and-coming team for 2021. And this seems like an absolutely horrible decision, and I do not see this ending well for the White Sox. But if you're a White Sox fan, feel free to enlighten me on the text line as to why this is a good move. You can't. 319-366-1600. Alex, it's been 9 years since Tony La Russa managed a team to a World Series title.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring this up. I remember where I was, obviously, for the last game that Tony La Russa ever managed. I was in Iowa City. I was a junior. It was Halloween. And the very next day, I watched James Vandenberg and Marcus Coker have a really big day for Iowa in a loss to Minnesota. I also watched a Tommy Tuberville-coached Texas Tech team get destroyed by Paul Rhodes' 2011 Liberty Bowl team in Iowa State. That's how long it has been since Tony La Russa has last managed a baseball game, and now he's taking over the youngest and arguably the most exciting roster in Major League Baseball 9 years later.
Here's why this is a bad move. It has nothing to do. Look, I see a lot of people referencing Tony La Russa's age. I don't think that age is necessarily a disqualifier for anything. I think Tony La Russa's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. He is a pretty decent manager, or at least he was. And this is Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the White Sox, doing what Jerry Reinsdorf wants to do. Rick Hahn, the general manager, apparently had indicated that, look, it's either La Russa or me. And now he's on board with this, as he should. He's the guy who built this team and put them in a position to hopefully succeed and win their first World Series since 2005 in 2021. But Tony La Russa, his stop after the Cardinals was an absolute utter disaster in Arizona. The reason that the Arizona Diamondbacks are in the position that they are right now is due in large part to the fact that Tony La Russa, basically at every decision Tony La Russa made running the Diamondbacks, was the wrong decision. Made a terrible trade involving Shelby Miller. And you now look at this and you say, is he the guy who's best suited to deal with this era in which we find ourselves in baseball, where we just had the discussion after Game 6 of the World Series about analytics? Is Tony La Russa the guy to take over and manage a team successfully in the analytics era? Because the last time that he was in a dugout, nowhere close to the way that things operate now in Major League Baseball. So you cannot... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that point that you just made right there, I agree. I don't think age disqualifies you at all. I think that what I'm trying to say and what you were just saying right there, think of how different the game is now than it was when he last managed a baseball game. Think about how many things have changed and how the recipe for winning games in 2020 is so different from the way that it was in 2011. That's the biggest concern that I have on top of, in that this is magnified by the fact that he is taking over a really young and exciting baseball team that Rick Hahn and his staff put together from scratch. They lost for a couple of seasons. They went into complete and utter rebuild mode. They made trades. They drafted well. And they put together a roster that they look at right now and they're excited about. They're super excited about. They're starting to see the fruits of their labor. And then all of a sudden, the owner comes and just puts a giant red mark on it. Because clearly, Rick Hahn wasn't in favor of it. It caused a lot of problems, or it's causing a lot of angst inside that organization, from players to possible free agents to the upper management. But it was the owner's decision. Why he made it, I don't know. Against Jerry Reinsdorf's regular MO. We've seen what he's done in two leagues, the way he handles business. It's not like this is necessarily a surprise, but to go through all of what the White Sox went through and then to see this, you have to imagine I would feel betrayed if I were Rick Hahn. Absolutely.
Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, and I know there are some people who are not huge fans of Bob Nightingale, reported that the White Sox didn't even interview A.J. Hinch, who is reportedly the number one candidate for Detroit's opening. Now, the Tigers and the White Sox share a division, and that's about it, because the talent level between Chicago and Detroit, the gap is immense at this point. But if the Tigers wind up with A.J. Hinch and the White Sox wind up with Tony La Russa, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Tigers as the organization that did its due diligence with its managerial opening, which, by the way, there's a graphic floating around on Twitter that came with one of, I believe it was the email announcement from the White Sox to its email list announcing the La Russa hire, and the graphic actually had A.J. Hinch's signature on it. It's been corrected on other forms of social media, so either A.J. Hinch was in the mix or somebody inside the front office is deliberately sabotaged. Maybe there's a resistance movement at 35th and Shields on the south side of Chicago. I drove past Guaranteed Rate Field coming back from West Lafayette this past week, and I spent a little time in the Chicago suburbs. Looks great. Would have given anything to have enjoyed a baseball game there this year. 420. Speaking of baseball games, Alex, 4 years ago today, I was at Game 4 of the World Series. Seems a lot longer than 4 years. 4 years ago seems like an eternity in 2020. But that memory came up on my timeline earlier today, and it was a good memory until John Lackey got into about the second inning, if I recall that game correctly. And I remember walking out of there going, you know what? At least I saw my team play in a World Series game, because as a Cubs fan, it's something that I didn't necessarily think I was ever going to see. And then lo and behold, they came back and won the whole darn thing on a Wednesday night in Cleveland. 319-366-1600. Tony La Russa,
who last... You know what happened?
What?
Do you know what happened 9 years ago yesterday?
Tony La Russa managed the Cardinals to a World Series title?
Ding, 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 ding. Bingo, you got it. October 28th, 2011.
Boy, the White Sox fans are just riled. Hey, look at it this way. At least people are talking about your team. You're relevant right now. You're relevant for all the wrong reasons. You should be relevant for the team that you have on the field. And they do have a very good team on the field. But, man, nothing like putting your heart and soul, if you're Rick Hahn, into building a championship team, and then your owner decides to just go out and do whatever it is that he wants to do because he feels bad about the way that things ended in 1986. And that's basically what's happening. We got some big basketball news. The Big Ten ACC Challenge pairings are out. And, boy, this is not going to sit well with Hawkeye fans if they're not allowed in Carver-Hawkeye Arena for this matchup. Alex, North Carolina and Iowa, Carver-Hawkeye Arena. John Rothstein says that's the matchup in this year's Big Ten ACC Challenge. And fans are going to have to sit at home and watch it. That stinks.
This is going to be the best non-conference schedule, or the most loaded non-conference schedule I can ever remember from an Iowa basketball program. Gonzaga, North Carolina. This is going to be fun. North Carolina was atrocious a year ago. I can't imagine they're going to be as bad this year. But Iowa having North Carolina coming into Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
It, as you said, it's not the greatest North Carolina team in the world. It's still North Carolina coming to Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And give Fran McCaffrey and his staff credit, because it's still difficult to put together a non-conference season schedule. 7 games on top of the 20 they're going to try to play in the Big Ten. They want to play Iowa State still, presumably. As you mentioned, Gonzaga in South Dakota. And now the Big Ten ACC pairings come up. No Gavitt games this year for the Hawkeyes, but the Hawkeyes are certainly going to be tested by the time the Big Ten opener rolls around this year. 428, let's go ahead and get a big board update in, and then we'll chat Cyclone Athletics with Michael Swain at 24/7 Sports. Big board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street or online at alexlbr.com. Alex, what's going on today?
Let's start with the breaking news from just about half an hour ago. John Rothstein of CBS Sports is reporting that in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, Iowa is going to host North Carolina. The two teams have met before, I believe in 2014 in Chapel Hill. They will meet in Iowa City this time around. There's more fallout from the Wisconsin-Nebraska cancellation for Saturday's game. Nebraska had found an opponent to play. The University of Tennessee Chattanooga Monarchs had agreed to terms to play in Lincoln on Saturday. Even financially, they had come to an agreement until the Big Ten chancellors voted against allowing the Huskers to play UT Chattanooga. They will not be permitted to play on Saturday. The Iowa Hawkeyes have seen a couple of players enter the transfer portal. Redshirt freshman linebacker Yahweh Judy and then running back Shadrick Byrd have entered the portal and will be transferring. Judy had not seen playing time yet in his career. Byrd saw playing time on special teams in West Lafayette on Saturday.
Sounds like both of those issues, I did a little digging earlier today, sounds like both of those are just depth chart issues and nothing to read too much into. By the way, John Rothstein has, again, if you follow college basketball scheduling, you know John Rothstein is the guy who gets the scoop on games being played. Rothstein has most of, if not all, of the Big Ten ACC Challenge games, according to his reporting. Miami and Purdue will play at Miami, Penn State at Virginia Tech, Louisville at Wisconsin, Georgia Tech at Nebraska, Pitt at Northwestern, Maryland at Clemson, Boston College at Minnesota, Syracuse at Rutgers, Florida State hosting Indiana, Notre Dame hosting Ohio State, and a big one here for the Illinois Fighting Illini. Duke will welcome the Illinois Fighting Illini to Cameron Indoor Stadium. So your Big Ten ACC Challenge matchups on the men's side for 2020 appear to be set, and it is a big one for the Hawkeyes. Too bad that fans likely won't be able to be inside Carver Hawkeye Arena for it. 4:31, we need to step aside for 3 minutes. When we come back, Iowa State trying to get back in the win column this weekend on the gridiron, taking on Les Miles and the Kansas Jayhawks. Michael Swain, who covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports, set to join us next.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings in velvet-lined Hertine and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertine and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertine and Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
They've disappeared in droves. 30,000 Iowa jobs in 2 decades, all lost to outsourcing. And the same corporate special interests that are taking our jobs to China and Mexico have funded Joni Ernst's campaign. Why? Maybe because Ernst voted to protect tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. That's right. Instead of protecting us, Ernst rewarded companies that lay us off. Ernst even voted to kill a bipartisan measure to provide job retraining for American workers. And during the pandemic, Ernst voted for a $500 billion slush fund for corporate special interests, like the ones funding her campaign, which would hand our tax dollars to CEOs as they laid off even more workers. If we want to keep Iowa jobs in Iowa, we need to keep Joni Ernst out of Washington. Paid for by DSCC, dsscc.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com, especially this fall. With all the debris collection, you'll find out about any delays or schedule changes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com. If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
434, stick around with us because coming up in about an hour, you've got a chance to take home an Amazon Echo. All you got to do is answer 7 questions in 60 seconds, answer more than your opponent, and you'll be our winner tonight. Those Echoes come in handy because not only can you listen to us on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, but if you've got a smart speaker, yes, KGYM right there, wherever you listen. 319-366-1600. Details, by the way, on our website, kgymradio.com. We'll chat Hawkeye football and this week's opponent, Northwestern, with Paul Banks coming up in about 25 minutes to kick off Drive Time, brought to you by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. But first, let's focus on Iowa State. Cyclones getting back in action this weekend. We'll have the game right here on KGYM as Iowa State takes on Kansas. Michael Swain, who covers Iowa State for 24/7 Sports, kind enough to take a few minutes out of his Thursday afternoon to join us here on the eastern side of the state. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Should be an interesting game this weekend, but super excited for it.
Well, let's look at what's something that you think or expect Iowa State to be able to correct this week against Kansas that maybe gave them a little bit of trouble against Oklahoma State last week?
I think the biggest thing will be the offensive line play. That was really apparent in rewatching the game. Was there was a spot that I found around the 6-minute mark of that third quarter where from then on the offensive line really struggled to protect Brock Purdy. And that really stuck out to me because one of the things I think we've seen from Brock this season is that if he has a clean pocket and time to make decisions, he can make a lot of throws and he can be accurate in short, you know, in those kind of short intermediate throws that Iowa State uses a lot of the time. And what you saw against Oklahoma State, you know, in the second half especially, is that as the defense got more pressure, Purdy was forced to scramble more, which kind of throws off a little bit of the timing of the offense. And against the Kansas team that is very young, especially in the front seven, I do expect the Iowa State offensive line to maybe get it back on track. And you have to, you know, some of it has to be in context, too. You know, Iowa State lost Trevor Downing, the starting left guard, in the first game of the season, and then lost Joey Ramos against Texas Tech. And it doesn't sound like either of those players will be available on Saturday. So there are new pieces along the offensive line, and I think that's going to be one of those things where against kind of this, you know, younger Kansas front seven that Iowa State might be able to have some success.
What have you made of the unbelievable start to this season from Breece Hall?
Man, he has been so good. It's funny. We have a weekly column on the website that I write, and I've kind of started this past week's, you know, by saying I've run out of things to say about Breece Hall because he's been excellent this season. And I think, you know, comparing him to maybe the, you know, David Montgomery's, the Kareem Hunts of the world that Matt Campbell has coached in the past, I think he's well on his way to becoming one of those next, you know, great Matt Campbell running backs. And I think the thing that continuously stands out to me is just the overallness to Breece Hall's game. He's really improved in his pass blocking, I think, as the season has gone on. There were a couple times, you know, throughout this season where I've seen Breece Hall take on two oncoming rushers and stop them from getting to Brock Purdy just in the pass blocking. And then, of course, in the run game, his top-end speed has been really eye-opening for me. And I think just also his balance. I think how many times have you watched an Iowa State game this year where you see Breece Hall run and guys are just kind of bouncing off him and he's just somehow able to evade tacklers and stay on his feet. So I think overall you're looking at one of, you know, someone that has the opportunity to kind of be that next great Matt Campbell running back.
Michael, I know Matt Campbell addressed the Kansas offense. We make fun of Kansas. They're not a great football team, but they do have some playmakers on the offensive side of the football that Iowa State needs to be cognizant of this weekend.
Oh, definitely. You know, Jalen Daniels, the quarterback there, true freshman. You know, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but I just, you know, started the Iowa State beat, and I used to cover Kansas. So I was able to watch kind of the Jalen Daniels recruitment unfold, and he was someone that maybe caught my eye with his huddle tape, and I think he's been pretty solid so far this season for Kansas. The question has really been the offensive line play for KU. They've really struggled in that area, and I don't think against, you know, an Iowa State defensive line that is, you know, one of the best in the Big 12, I wonder if they'll be able to protect Jalen Daniels. And that seems to affect a lot of the offense for Kansas this season, is if Jalen Daniels has time to make throws, then the offense can look okay. It's just when he's running around there, you know, for 60 minutes and not getting any protection, that things really don't look good. But you've got Jalen Daniels at quarterback, Andrew Parchman at wide receiver, is someone that I think has the opportunity or the ability to play on Sundays. I think he has maybe that size that you look for, the top end speed that you look for. Another guy that I'm not sure about the long-term status of, Stephon Robinson. He didn't play against Kansas State, and I believe he might be out this Saturday against Iowa State. He had a really big game against Iowa State last season in Ames. And then now without Puka Williams, you know, you've got a sophomore running back in Dalton Gardner, who has, again, really good top-end speed and is able to break for some big runs. But, you know, that Kansas offense does have some weapons, but I think it really is just going to come down to, can they protect the quarterback?
Where is this Kansas program? You mentioned you covered them. Of course, a lot of people are always going to want to poke a little bit of fun at Les Miles. The results are ugly so far this season. They're not a good football team right now. But a lot of people point to the fact that he is starting a full-fledged rebuild. He kind of wants to start over. You mentioned Puka Williams no longer being there. Where is this program at as far as Les Miles and the timetable he has to possibly turn this thing around?
Definitely. And, you know, I think the program is headed in the right direction long-term. I think this was always going to be the down year. And I think those of us that maybe spent time at the program and covered the program, I think we all kind of knew that this was going to be the year that things really maybe not bottomed out, but that things really looked ugly. Because you look up and down the roster, and what Les Miles has tried to do is get high school kids. Because at the end of the David Beatty era, it was a lot of junior college kids. And that, you know, you run into some roadblocks there with scholarship limits, with the development of the players. And what Les Miles has come in and done and basically said, all right, we're done taking junior college kids. We're only taking high school kids, except for a few instances of going the junior college route. And he's just trying to rebuild the roster. And so I think in terms of maybe the long-term development of this Kansas program, I think it is on that upward trend. Games are going to be ugly this year. I think Saturday could be ugly. I think it's just going to be the nature of how things go. But I do think in the long-term sense of it, I think it's on the upward trend, but it is Kansas. And I being there is something that just also feels like inevitable about, you know, will this actually work in the long run? You know, if they keep losing games, will they be able to recruit the talent from high schools that, you know, will elevate the program? But I wouldn't be too concerned, you know, in terms of the wins and losses this year. I think the program is definitely headed in the right direction.
He's new to the Iowa State beat. Give him a follow on Twitter at mswain247. Michael Swain joining us here in Eastern Iowa for a couple more minutes. And Michael, a little disconcerting to see the performance of Connor Asali last weekend against Oklahoma State. He's been solid for Iowa State for quite a while on special teams. How important will it be to see him right the ship this weekend? Just from a confidence standpoint.
I think it is really important. Just because I think you think about Iowa State and the games that they're going to play in, they are tending to be going to be a little bit closer. You think about that matchup, you know, in a couple weeks against Kansas State, that kind of looks like a low scoring affair that could come down to maybe the final possessions. You look at that game at Texas in a few weeks, near Thanksgiving, that's going to be a game that should be close. So I think it's going to be crucial for him to get back on track. But in talking to Matt Campbell this week, it didn't sound like there was too much concern from an Iowa State perspective, because they've seen him make big kicks in his Iowa State career. And I thought Matt Campbell made an interesting point about the two kicks against Oklahoma State too. The first kick, the 48-yard field goal, you know, he kind of mentioned that was really the max of Asali's range. And you think about the big kicks that he's hit so far, they're usually kind of in that 40 yards and closer range. So 48 yards, you miss. But then that other one, the second one, the one I have more trouble with, you know, right foot kicker on the right hash, I can understand how that's harder. But I still think at the end of the day, I think that's something that Asali would say that he should make. But I think in terms of just this weekend, I think in general, getting special teams back on track is going to be really big.
Do you think that for Matt Campbell and Brock Purdy, there's maybe the want to find a couple of receivers that are going to step up? I understand that they've had some injuries at that position. I had a couple guys unavailable, but at least last week, the passing game, you mentioned the pressure that completely threw things off, but it was pretty discombobulated from the jump.
Yes, it really was. And in terms of the wide receiver positions, I think outside of Xavier Hutchinson, I think you could say that position group has maybe been a little lackluster this season. I think you maybe would have expected a little bit more out of Sean Shaw with another year of development and kind of stepping up maybe. But I think the Tariq Milton injury has hurt Iowa State. You know, he did play against TCU, got hurt again against Oklahoma, and hasn't played since. I do think that's a big loss. But you just look up and down that wide receivers room, there's talent there. You know, Xavier Hutchinson is someone that Matt Campbell has complimented a lot. He has flashed, and he's been really good early on. But you think about guys like Joe Skates, you know, guys like that have that, you know, high ceiling, if you will, that maybe haven't been able to contribute consistently yet. I think it's going to be on maybe those secondary guys to step up and get open. I think that's the biggest thing, has been creating separation from defensive backs, because I think you saw it against Louisiana and you saw it again against Oklahoma State, where teams are going to start to pressure Brock Purdy and basically say, all right, Brock, we're going to pressure you. You're going to have to get the ball out quick. You're going to have to be perfect. And your wide receivers are going to have to give up space for you to even fit that throw in there. And at the moment, there have been times where those wide receivers haven't been able to get pressure. And that's why I think sometimes you're seeing Brock scramble for so long and looking. It's just because the guys aren't able to create that separation. So I think some of that is just going to come down to man-to-man matchups. But I think some of it could do with scheme, too. I'd love to see maybe some more trip sets, maybe some rub routes, things that can create conflict for the defense that are going to try and play those man-to-man coverages on you.
How do you handicap the Big 12 race right now as you see it, Michael?
I think Oklahoma State should be the favorite. I think, honestly, though, Iowa State second or third, if we're handicapping it. I think you look at the rest of the Iowa State schedule, and it's pretty favorable. You know, you think about this week at Kansas, but then you come home to Baylor. You get a bye week before you play Kansas State at home, and then you get that big matchup at Texas, you know, on that Black Friday. I think that matchup against Texas is really good to decide who plays in the Big 12 championship game, because I think you could see Iowa State going into that Texas game with only one Big 12 loss. And at that point, I think, you know, one loss will guarantee you a spot in the Big 12 title game. I think Oklahoma State will lose one of their big-time games to OU or Texas, and I think that'll open up the door for one of those two schools to jump in or for Iowa State to really take control of this down the stretch.
What do you make of the defense so far this season? Yes, they gave up some big plays early in the year, and that kind of creeps up at times, but they're forcing turnovers, and it seems like all the ingredients that they have a lot of depth on that side of the football, and guys are kind of finding their role at this point.
Totally. I totally agree with that. I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me has been the play of the safeties. That's something that I think early on in the season, I think the safeties maybe struggled with some of, you know, just not necessarily the concepts, but other teams. And they were giving up some big plays. But I think what you've seen now is the Greg Eisworths, the Lawrence Whites. They've really solidified that back end. And then you've got a redshirt freshman in Aisheen Young that has really flashed early on. And I've been really impressed with Young. Yeah, he had the targeting call against Texas Tech, but I really think that he's someone that has some high-end potential. And the defensive line has been awesome. I think they met their match against that Oklahoma State offensive line. But you think about Will McDonald, Jaquan Bailey, you know, they've got a ton of guys up on that, you know, that defensive line that can really mix and match. They've got guys that can stuff the run. They've got guys that can rush the passer. You know, that group has been really good. And then the linebackers. I mean, Mike Rose has just been incredible. Jake Hummel, too, I think has been underrated this season. I think he's probably been one of those that, you know, if you're just a casual fan and you watch the game, he may not be someone that is necessarily popping off the screen every play like a Mike Rose is, but I think he's been really solid too. And I think just in general, this defense has the ability to, you know, bend but don't break. You know, you mentioned the big plays and those have happened, but I think a lot of the time what you see is teams will move the ball early on in the drive, But once they maybe hit the 45, 40-yard line of Iowa State, that's when the defense tends to tighten up. And I think you've seen them come up with some big plays in those situations, which has really helped Iowa State.
Michael, I know you're new to the beat. Maybe you're still getting acclimated to the men's basketball side of things, but seems expectations are a little low this year for Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I really think the loss of Blake Hinson is just, I can't state how big that is. He was someone that I spent a lot of time this summer kind of watching some of his games at Ole Miss, and I was really impressed with just maybe his versatility overall. And I thought that in Steve Prohm's kind of ball movement and man movement and just kind of versatile system, I thought that he would move and fit in really well in that. But he's not going to be available this season. He's back in Florida. That's a really big loss. And I think this year might just be a development year. You look at bringing in some of those new faces, Xavier Foster, Dudley Blackwell, Darlington Dubard, Jaden Walker. You know, those are some guys that I think can add to this program. But I think they might just be a year off from being more competitive. I think if you had Blake Hinson, I think it would definitely raise the ceiling of Iowa State. But without him, I think this could turn into being more of maybe a development year where you're looking at more focusing on the growth of those young players rather than the specific wins and losses.
Michael, appreciate you having you join us here on the eastern side of the state and look forward to following along with your coverage of the Cyclones. Thanks a lot.
Definitely. Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
And give him a follow. He is new to the Iowa State beat. On Twitter at mswain247. And Alex, again, will have Iowa State and Kansas here this weekend. The Cyclones, a 26.5-point favorite over Les Miles. And that's on the road in Lawrence against the Jayhawks.
I think the Cyclones covered. We'll get Lee Sterling's prediction tomorrow, but yes, Kansas has some up-and-coming players, some skill guys to keep an eye on, but they're a really bad football team. And I have a feeling Iowa State's going to be ready to take out a lot of the frustrations from last week on this young, inexperienced Kansas team.
Very similar. I said the same thing about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers last week going to Houston to take on the Texans after the Tampa Bay loss. That came to fruition. I'm right there with you. This is a bad spot to be in if you're Les Miles and the Jayhawks, because you've got an Iowa State team that is looking to exact some revenge. They can't play Oklahoma State again unless it's in the Big 12 championship game, so they got to take their anger out on the next team on the schedule, and that's the Jayhawks. 4:51, we've got an update on how things are going for the Wisconsin football program in Madison. It looks like Barry Alvarez and the Badgers made the right call. We'll get inside the numbers on the latest developments from the Wisconsin football program when we return after this.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
After falling to the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1982 NBA Finals, the 76ers needed to find the right player to build the ultimate winning team. In September of 82, they acquired restricted free agent Moses Malone. They went on to rack up a 65-17 regular season record and follow that up with a 12-1 postseason record. Malone won the regular season and NBA Finals MVP award.
Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to linkedin.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, ladies, we all know one of the greatest feelings in the world when a friend says,
"Girl, those pants look amazing on you."
And I say, "Thanks, they're Skechers Go Walk Wear pants." And why do I always get compliments on these casual, athletic, stretchy pants? They're made with comfortable Go Flex fabric that has compression and hold. They have four pockets, plus they're machine washable and come in extended sizes. That's the Skechers Go Walk Wear line of pants. Find yours at Skechers.com or a Skechers store near you.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thoughts and a deep voice, like mine. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise, and save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. As someone once said, saving today is money tomorrow. That's deep.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-ice is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
Friday with Greeny. It's a football Friday ahead of an enormous football weekend. Ohio State, Penn State get it started Saturday, and then a full slate of big games in the NFL. I'll be here to talk about it with you. It's Greeny, starting noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
And with that, we welcome you back in. The two-minute warning is officially here as we wrap up hour number one. And, Alex, we do so with an update from the Wisconsin football program, and it is the update that I think a lot of people probably expected when Barry Alvarez announced yesterday that they were shutting things down proactively in Madison before they reached that red trigger level where they would have to shut down. Three additional positive cases within the Wisconsin football program today, now up to 16 active positives. That's 15 since October 24th, so 15 in the last 5 days. Earliest possible return for activities for the football program November 4th, that would be 3 days prior to their home game against Purdue. Paul Christ, who has tested positive for COVID-19, his earliest possible return would be that Saturday where Wisconsin would be hosting Purdue. And suddenly you go from the Nebraska game being canceled to this Purdue game, November 7th, very well could be in peril right now.
Yeah, that's the news that you said it. A lot of people expected that there would be additional cases. We'll see if there continues to be more additional cases, but the Badgers shut down before they probably knew they were going to get to the 5% or the 7.5% mark, just to avoid having to miss more than one game. And let's hope that is possible. But that update doesn't make it look. It kind of leaves things hanging in the balance.
Earliest possible return, November 4th. They are scheduled to play Purdue November 7th. Can you get a Big Ten football team ready to play a game in 3 days after halting everything for an entire week? I'm not so sure that's the case. Stick around. We got more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way. We're going to turn our attention to this week's Iowa opponent, the Northwestern Wildcats, next with Paul Banks.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for, even though kickoff isn't until 7. The game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
Fall is in the air. Fall projects are on the list, and the Home Depot is ready with more ways than ever to help. Use our mobile app to search, shop, and save. Choose flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Take on fall and fall projects now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Get in the zone.
welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? If you're looking for new headlights and wipers, we recommend replacing in pairs. That way you'll have better visibility, especially with the weather changing. And there's no better time to do the job than during our first ever visibility event, October 25th to November 1st, where AutoZone Rewards members can get a $25 bonus reward when they buy two select Sylvania headlights and two Rain-X wiper blades. Restrictions apply. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Election Day is November 3rd. If you plan to vote by mail, plan ahead at usps.com/voting info. There, you will find helpful resources, such as guidance for successfully using the mail, links to find your state's rules and deadlines, information for military and overseas voters, and more. The U.S. Postal Service is ready to deliver for you. Make sure you're ready, too. Start today at usps.com/voting info.
KGYM, Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. This is KGYM Sports Radio, The Gym.
More of the Todd Brawley Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this Sports Center brought to you by CarePro Home Health Services.
This is Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Developing story. The White Sox hired Hall of Famer Tony La Russa as their new manager. The 76-year-old returning to where his managerial career began in 1979 in Chicago. It has been 9 years since La Russa last managed an MLB game. Major League Baseball continues to investigate the actions of Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner, who returned to the field to celebrate a World Series title after he'd been removed from Game 6 for a positive coronavirus test. MLB wasn't prepared for Turner to refuse instructions to leave the field, but couldn't have anticipated that, explains ESPN's Pedro Gomez.
And I don't know that you really could think that out, saying, okay, if we have a player who's refused to leave, we're going to, you know, come in and just physically remove him. I don't know that necessarily, that plan exists from a celebratory type of moment.
Pedro Gomez on the Max Kellerman Show. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Patriots receiver Julian Edelman expected to be out for some period of time following a precautionary standard knee procedure today. That includes Sunday's game against the Bills. That knee has limited Edelman all season long.
We're back on Friday. We finally get a glimpse inside the mind of Zubin as he gets to talk to someone he thinks is more interesting than Derek Jeter. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Friday, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Monday.
Night, honey. Did you clean your CPAP machine today?
I'll do it tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Night, hon. Did you?
I just can't seem to find the time.
Maybe it's time for a soul clean machine from CarePro.
I think you're right.
And Friday.
Well?
This thing is amazing. So clean, so fresh, and it kills 99.9% of germs and bacteria. Now I'll sleep really well.
So will I.
Sleep even better with your CPAP or BiPAP with a soul clean machine from CarePro. Stop in to purchase one or get more details at careprohealthservices.com.
It's a Metro rematch. It's Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hagerty and me Friday at 6:45 and 107.5, the KGYM stream and the KGYM radio app as number 9 Prairie meets Kennedy. The Cougars topped the Hawks by a point in overtime in the season opener. The stakes are much higher this time around as the winner goes to the quarterfinals. That's 4A third round playoff football. Number 9 Prairie at Kennedy. Friday night at 6:45 at 107.5 FM KGYM.
And join us on Friday. We will have Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports passing along another winning week for you. He did have a winning week last week with his selections. He'll weigh in on Iowa and Northwestern as well as Iowa State, Kansas, among other games. Love it or leave it on tap tomorrow as well. And I do believe tomorrow I will be ready to bring you that major announcement, which I teased inadvertently a little early yesterday here on the program, still trying to get everything completely lined up, but next Friday is going to be a very, very big day here in Eastern Iowa and for some of our KGYM listeners, and that's all I can say right now at this point. 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM with you till 6 o'clock tonight. The face-off on tap in about 25 minutes, your chance to take home an Amazon Echo from us, just to answer more questions than your opponent. And you can be enjoying us from the comfort of your home or office via a smart speaker. Speaking of smart speakers, we enjoy having our next guest on the program, Paul Banks, who covers both Illinois and Northwestern. When we need to discuss the Fighting Illini or Wildcats, we can always turn to Paul. Paul, great to have you back on the air with us here in Eastern Iowa. And Boy, if there's one thing that we've learned in recent years when Iowa and Northwestern get together, it's sort of throw out the records, throw out what you've seen from these two teams previously. But what we saw from Northwestern on Saturday in that win over Maryland was far different than what we saw from Iowa at Purdue.
Yeah, so thanks for having me. It's great to be back. There's a lot of different theories as to why Northwestern seems to really get up for Iowa. Some go back to Gary Barnett in that he kind of looked at Iowa and said, here's this program we want to knock off our perch. There's a theory that Pat Fitzgerald gets more, he gets more fired up because of 1995 and the fact that he broke his leg in the Iowa game and missed the Rose Bowl because of it. And it's definitely since 1995, kind of like the year one of modern Northwestern football, it's really been a very even series. It's been 13-10 in favor of NU, and we've seen two programs that really win with running and defense, and they've been somewhat similar.
Game one. I know that a lot of Northwestern fans are not trying to overreact and trying to stay cautiously optimistic, but I don't think that anybody can walk away from Northwestern's first performance, a dominant win over Maryland, and not give a lot of credit to Peyton Ramsey and Mike Bajakian, the new quarterback and offensive coordinator, without any practice time or without a lot of practice time, with as tough as this offseason has been, they look like they were on the same page from the first snap.
I think a lot of that goes to just having experience and somebody like Peyton Ramsey of all that he accomplished at Indiana. You're absolutely right in that anytime you have a system change and you have an entirely different, I mean, even the tempo is different, the way they run their plays in practice. But you have to wonder how much of that is just Maryland being that bad, and or is Northwestern just that good? Perhaps we learn a lot more this week. I would say that when you have a new offensive coordinator, you've got a new quarterback, you've got Isaiah Bowser was the running back number one for 2018, which was, you know, the Big Ten West championship year. And then he's listed as number one on the depth chart this week, but Drake Anderson, son of Damian Anderson, the program's all-time leading rusher, had the big breakout game. And when you've got a 1-2 punch, like with them working together, it's just a complete reversal from last year. It's a brave new world over there for sure.
I don't care whether you're Bowser or Anderson, you've got to look at the results that Purdue got on the ground last week from a backup running back and be pretty excited about maybe going up against an Iowa run defense that isn't exactly on par with what we've seen from the Hawkeyes in recent years.
Yeah, and that's going to be all up to the offensive line because of the opt-outs from COVID on this Northwestern roster, the three major ones. One that really stands out is Rashawn Slater, who's maybe a top 15, top 20 NFL draft pick. And the guy who's filled in for him at left tackle, Peter Skoronski, is somebody who's a four-star recruit, but he's young. He's kind of learning on the fly. So the media op was with him and was with the offensive line coach yesterday. And, I mean, obviously it's going to be a lot different not going up against A.J. Epineza and guys like that, but if I had to make a prediction of what we're kind of going to see, I would think maybe more of the plays will be run to the right side. I think that's where the better strength of the line is right now.
So back to the running game. You mentioned Isaiah Bowser. Iowa fans remember him a couple of years ago running for, I think, $1.50 in that game that sealed the Big Ten West for Northwestern. And Drake Anderson, who is Isaiah Bowser's the thunder, the downhill runner. Drake Anderson is the shifty guy who is really good in the open field. This seems like a really, really good 1-2 punch that Pat Fitzgerald has to run out there this year.
Right, and I think a big part of that has been a change in we can't say superbacks anymore, which we love to talk about, the tight end fullback hybrid. Now it's just plain old tight end, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see some double tight sets. And I think Northwestern is going to try to approach this game with a good old-fashioned Midwestern black and blue division ball control, and and try to grind clock. And, you know, we'll see. You know, what happens a lot is Northwestern's approach that seems to work at Kinnick Stadium, and it seems whenever they get the bigger wins in the series or the wins that kind of turn their season around, it's usually on the road. You know, and that kind of goes for most teams, but especially in the Iowa series, they get their bigger wins in Iowa. And I think that this could really kickstart them towards doing all season what they just couldn't do last season, but what they've been doing under Pat Fitzgerald is trying to make you beat yourself and make trying to make, like in tennis, it'd be like the unforced errors. And, you know, that's what happened at Purdue, unfortunately, for Iowa last week, was they did make two big mistakes that kind of cost them the game. And I think that's exactly what Fitz and Bajakian and his staff are going to be looking at.
Paul M. Banks joining us here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, getting ready for Iowa and Northwestern Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. Enjoyed the preview at thesportsbank.net. Check it out for yourself. Why is Cam Ruiz a name to keep an eye on this weekend if you're an Iowa fan?
I think he's going to be a big part of trying to step down Amir Smith-Marset. That was another good conversation we had on Zoom. Yesterday was with the DB's coach about when you get a big, tall receiver, and the expression he used, you know, the footballism of a big, tall receiver becomes even bigger and taller the further you go down the field. So if it's not Ruiz on him, it'll be Craig Newsome the second. And it's basically, I kind of said to him, you know, so you're talking about the back shoulder fades, the outside routes, the jump balls. I believe the catchphrase these days, the buzzword is the 50-50 balls. And that's probably what they're going to try to do is probably – I'm guessing that Iowa's going to approach to use a height advantage with Smith-Marset. They also talked about 89, and I hope I don't know if I can even pronounce this, Reggiini. As one of the playmakers that they're going to be focused on as well. I hope I pronounced it right.
It's Nico Reggiini. What is the outlook for this defense? Now, I know that coming into last year, this was a unit that they were going to rely heavily on. You could argue that the offense being so bad put them in so many bad positions that, maybe they just kind of ran out of gas midway through the season. But is this... Is this a defensive unit that, Pat Fitzgerald is excited about? Because we know that's where he makes his money.
Well, for sure, and especially when you've got the baby Fitz of all baby Fitzes right in the middle, and Patty Fisher, and it's his senior year, and it's his chance to really prove himself to see if he's going to make the jump to the next level. It's they have lost some talent on the defensive line, and the front seven maybe isn't what it used to be, but it's still got so much experience. And when you look at the defensive line, three of the four starters are seniors. But really, I would say the strength of the team overall is the linebacking core. And they've played together for a while. They're seasoned. I mean, they're playmakers. You know, that could actually be what kind of changes the whole – that could change if they get like a pick six or a fumble six. That could make the difference, especially in a game like this where the spread is so small.
You've got Iowa, Paul, winning 27-21. Why?
I just think that last week was Iowa is better than how they looked, and I think Northwestern is not as good as how they looked. I think just my feeling about the series, the way these things kind of go, they seem Northwestern seems to get their bigger wins, like 09 when they knocked off the top five team, when Dan Persa had to play for the first time in his career. And it's something that's more unexpected. Like this just seems to, I don't know. I feel that Northwestern seems to do better in this series when they can sneak up on you. And from what I've seen and looked at, I think Iowa's going to be ready. I think they kind of got the mistakes out of their system.
I said watching Peyton Ramsey, he looks like a guy that was born to play quarterback at Northwestern. He fit right in as far as that system. He completes a high percentage of passes. Yes, this was against Maryland, but what is maybe the excitement level of having a quarterback of that caliber who it may not look pretty, but he's going to get the job done. He makes a lot of plays. He does a bunch of different things. And you know, as a Northwestern fan, what you had at that position last year.
Right, because Hunter Johnson, the Clemson transfer, was considered maybe the highest recruit ever, five-star guy. Everything went wrong. No one else they put in, everyone else they tried, it all went wrong. I think it really comes down to experience. We just talked about their defense and how they could want to win that way if they approach it where they want their quarterback to be a game manager and they don't have to throw it too much. I mean, when it's a system change like this, when it's a transitional year, I really think it comes down to poise. And he's 22 years old, so he's a little bit older. He just fits well into what they want to do. And Northwestern usually plays. They've got guys with system fit that are pretty sharp. They have a high football IQ that can complement one another. And I think they'll try to make everything that they can this year with sort of like the double tights or a power kind of game. And with that in mind, you don't really need your quarterback to go out there and beat you too much. But, he's thrown for over 6,000 yards, so he can beat you through the air too. And if that's what it's going to take, I mean, the threat is always there. It should be an interesting I'm looking forward to seeing the play calling for this, because last year was it was finally time. It was long, long overdue to move on from Mick McCall as offensive coordinator. And if that's what it took, well, that's what it took. And now I think you can kind of see this offensive unit being more excited about the possibilities.
The Wisconsin COVID situation has certainly upended the Big Ten West at the moment. What do you see when you look at the Big Ten West picture at the moment?
Well, I did foresee Minnesota's run last year. I kind of knew that was going to happen. This year, I don't really know. I think Purdue winning when they don't even have their head coach calling plays and their best players isn't even on the field, that's a good sign. I don't feel good about my alma mater at all. I saw Illinois, especially in offense, look like they didn't even prepare. I think Nebraska it could be messy. I think Nebraska could be one of the lower teams in the division, just given the weird offseason they had. Wisconsin is Wisconsin. So now I think it'll probably come down to maybe Minnesota, Iowa, and Purdue. And you can kind of flip coins about, I think maybe like those will be your main contenders.
Yeah, I've pointed out with Illinois that usually after some modicum of success, the other shoe drops. They get to a bowl game. The next year, they fail to live up to expectations. Is there a real concern in Champaign that that's what 2020 is going to be?
Oh, yeah, because we've seen it through every coach. I mean, we've seen where Ron Zook had the first back-to-back bowl seasons in 2010, 2011, and he did it with 2 6-6 teams. That was the first time that had happened since 91-92 between Lou Tepper and John Makovic. And it comes down to, okay, the Rose Bowl season, that was a 9-4. Next year, in 2008, they missed the bowl game by one game. 2001, the Big Ten title team had a 10-1 regular season. They finished under 500 the next year. And I would say this. I would say that I think Lovey's, no matter how this goes, I think he's fine. But then if this year is a disaster, then I think next year he's finally going to be on the hot seat, because you have to try to build something. Because I always refer to it as, you could say like Illinois 2001 or Big Ten title year or the 2007 Rose Bowl, you can say, well, it's a fluke, because when you have a sample set like that, it was one outlier, it just looks so fluky. And the problem now that we've seen is that when they do rise, it's only the mediocrity. It's not really rising, and the bar is just even lower. So, but there's so much talent from the transfer market. So a lot of highly rated guys on that team from all kinds of positions who came in from prestigious programs.
Paul, before we let you go, you're in the Chicagoland area. How's the Tony La Russa hire going over today?
I was just like, are they going to, like, announce Max Headroom as, like, the new stadium announcer, and they're going to have, like, Taylor Dayton perform the national anthem on opening day? It's just so mid-80s. And I, you know, I'm a Xennial. I'm a old millennial, young Gen X or whatever. And that I grew up on Tony La Russa baseball. When I'm from that part of the city. And if you got straight A's or perfect attendance, you'd get a voucher to go see the White Sox for free. And I just can't explain anything. I heard your conversation about it. I don't know how anybody can. Our reaction mostly has been from the start was most people in Chicago have said, oh, well, they're just talking to them to do due diligence, to do consulting on the other hire. So we've just all been in denial. And now that we can't be in denial anymore, I haven't appropriately taken the temperature of the base to give you an accurate readout on that, because I'm still trying to find the other side of this. And I have yet to hear an argument that makes any sense. So everyone in Chicago has just kind of been in shock and then kind of thinking, yeah, like where are you going with this? Like, what are you doing?
Paul, always a pleasure to have you with us. I know it's National Cat Day, and I know your cat likes to act up when you are on Zoom sessions and doing radio hits. So a treat is in order, because I didn't hear the cat in the background at all. So take good care of the cat tonight.
Yeah, see you. Athletic pet show, like reality game show. They found his Instagram and they actually interviewed us. So we'll see how that does. I'm going to have to treat him a lot better, because he may be a star someday.
Give him a follow on Twitter at Paul M. Banks. Check out the website, thesportsbank.net. Always great to have Paul with us, whether we're talking Illinois or Northwestern football. So he is on record, Iowa 27, Northwestern 21. Saturday, but Alex, Northwestern brings itself a quarterback to Iowa City. I know you have been a fan of Peyton Ramsey and this transfer pretty much from the moment that it came to light. And I look at what happened last week with the run game, especially in the second half. If I'm Bowser or Anderson or who knows who else is getting the ball for Northwestern, I'm licking my chops right now. I'm thinking, you could have a big day Saturday.
Yeah, I think in the past, there have been some Iowa defensive line, especially last year. I thought that the Iowa defensive line maybe intimidated the Northwestern offensive line a little bit. And even a couple years ago, you saw A.J. Epinesa and some of those guys having big days, and Northwestern was still able to amass close to 200 yards on the ground. And I don't think that they're intimidated this time around. I think they've shored up their offensive line a little bit. They're more comfortable running the system that Mike Bajakian brings from the NFL and from the University of Cincinnati. And this Iowa defensive line is, for the first time in a while, a little bit of a question mark, especially based on the way that they played against Purdue. So can they stiffen up a little bit and slow down this running game? They're going to need to in order to have success. And I know in the past, Northwestern's offense was okay with three and outs at times. It was okay with playing the field position battle in a 17-10 or 20-17 type game, like we had seen 2 years in a row that they actually pulled out the victory in. One to win the Big Ten West the year before that on their way to a 10-3 season. I think they can move the football a little bit better this year. I think they'll pick up more first downs. They'll be a little bit better about time of possession. And if they're a little bit more aggressive, how does that change the game plan that Iowa has going up against their defense, which we know in the past has given the Hawkeyes a little bit of trouble?
5:23, we got a face-off coming up in just about 10-12 minutes, an opportunity for one of our listeners to take home a brand new Amazon Echo. You can listen to KGYM and music and whatever else you want to on that speaker. If you can answer more questions than your opponent tonight inside our face-off, buttons will be ready for you. We'll get you a big board update coming up here shortly as well. Plenty more to come between now and 6 o'clock. As we mentioned, the Wisconsin football program with a few new positives today and the latest development out of Madison, Wednesday, next Wednesday, the earliest that they could return to action. And I'm still on the fence as to whether or not you can return to action on Wednesday and play a Big Ten game on Saturday. But we will wait and see. The Badgers pretty much in a holding pattern right now. They made the decision to pull the plug and shut things down to try to contain this before it got to the point where they were forced to shut down. Nebraska's been pulled into this now, and Purdue is the next team on Wisconsin's schedule that could ultimately be affected by this as well. 319-366-1600 as we make our way towards 6 o'clock tonight. You will hear some of the highlights of that segment with Paul when you join us on Saturday afternoon on 106.3 and 107.5 FM for Before the Boom. We'll get you ready for Iowa and Northwestern. And Alex, this has been a fairly even series over the last 15, 20 seasons. I know Hawkeye fans have a hard time acknowledging that. Northwestern for many years, especially during the 80s, was pretty much a guaranteed W on the schedule. But Northwestern is not the easy out that they once were.
Yeah, it's funny that we kind of bring that up every year. And that's still sort of a discussion point all these years later, 20 plus years later, that Northwestern is no longer an easy out. I think for most people, they recognize that. They recognize that whenever Iowa plays Northwestern, for whatever reason, Pat Fitzgerald really, really likes beating Iowa. And there have been a lot of people pointing out that he doesn't much care for Iowa. So you know that you're going to get their best effort. And we have gotten so many close, down-to-the-wire ball games over the last 10 years. And it's weird. It's like either Iowa blows out Northwestern or they lose in a one-score game. Like there doesn't seem to be much in between as far as results go.
319-366-1600 if you would like to join us on the text line. Feedback always appreciated. 6717. I will make sure to pass that along to Paul. He will love to hear that from you. Let's go ahead and take care of a big board update with our very own Alex Kuhn. Big Board Updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Check them out in Iowa City. And if you are in the market for new windows, check out the Answers by Alexander window line available in their showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Well, let's get to some breaking news within the last couple hours. First of all, we know that Iowa will be playing in the Big Ten ACC Challenge against the University of North Carolina. The Hawkeyes and Tar Heels will play inside Carver Hawkeye Arena in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. From the University of Wisconsin, they gave us an update on their COVID-19 happenings. They have 3 additional confirmed positives. They have 16 confirmed active cases within their football program, their football population, so players, coaches, staff. The earliest possible return is November 4th. And the earliest possible return for Paul Christ, who has tested positive for the virus, is November 7th. Speaking of the fallout from the cancellation of Wisconsin and Nebraska, Nebraska had actually found an opponent to play. They were going to play the University of Tennessee Chattanooga. They had agreed to a financial terms until the chancellors in the Big Ten nixed that. They voted to not allow the Huskers to play the Monarchs. So they will not play on Saturday. The Iowa Hawkeyes have seen a couple of players enter the transfer portal. Redshirt freshman linebacker Yahweh Judy, as well as running back Shadrick Byrd, have both entered the portal. Judy had not seen time yet in his career. Byrd was playing on special teams on Saturday in West Lafayette.
Tony La Russa, the new old manager of the Chicago White Sox today, the second stint for the Hall of Fame manager on the south side of Chicago. Just for fun, Christopher Komka, you may, if you're a White Sox fan or if you watch a lot of NBC Sports Chicago, You may have heard his name in the past. He is a tremendous producer and comes up with a lot of trivia and numbers on White Sox broadcasts. The starting lineup. The last time Tony La Russa managed the Chicago White Sox in 1986, John Cangelosi led off in center field, followed by Carlton Fisk and Harold Baines, a couple Hall of Famers back-to-back. Ron Kittle was in left, hitting cleanup. Bobby Bonilla was still in a White Sox uniform playing first base. Tim Hewlett at third base, followed by Wayne Tolleson at short, Julio Cruz at second, and Joel Skinner behind the plate with Joel Davis on the mound. I can guarantee you this, the 2021 White Sox lineup that Tony La Russa will be managing is a lot better top to bottom than that particular lineup. But the baseball world certainly turned upside down today by the official announcement that the White Sox indeed are returning the 76-year-old Tony La Russa to the manager's seat after 34 years away from Chicago. 5:30, we're going to take a quick timeout. Tony La Russa is probably going to come up on the face-off tonight. If you would like a chance at winning a brand-new Amazon Echo and you have not won anything from us in the last 30 days, get ready to call 319-366-1600 when we return after that. Don't call yet. Buttons will get very mad at you, and it takes a lot to get Buttons mad. But when we return, we'll have you pick up the phone and give us a call. Back with more after this.
They've disappeared in droves. 30,000 Iowa jobs in 2 decades, all lost to outsourcing. And the same corporate special interests that are taking our jobs to China and Mexico have funded Joni Ernst's campaign. Why? Maybe because Ernst voted to protect tax breaks for companies that ship jobs overseas. That's right. Instead of protecting us, Ernst rewarded companies that lay us off. Ernst even voted to kill a bipartisan measure to provide job retraining for American workers. And during the pandemic, Ernst voted for a $500 billion slush fund for corporate special interests, like the ones funding her campaign, which would hand our tax dollars to CEOs as they laid off even more workers. If we want to keep Iowa jobs in Iowa, we need to keep Joni Ernst out of Washington. Paid for by DSCC, dsscc.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team is moving on after defeating Marion 45-8 in the second round of the Class 3A playoffs Friday night. Jackson Rexroth tied a school record for rushing touchdowns in a game for the second time this season. The Saints welcome Wallert for the third round of playoffs tomorrow night. The Xavier volleyball team punched their ticket to state for the fifth year in a row with a sweep of Oskaloosa Tuesday night in the Class 4A regional final. Maya Carl led the Saints with 11 kills, and Jasmine Yamalkowski posted 29 assists. Xavier will face Dallas Center Grimes in a quarterfinal Monday at 3 p.m. at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse in Cedar Rapids.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
I'm not sure the Philadelphia 76ers are a great basketball team, but they are great at one thing, creating drama that makes them an interesting story. We got into the process to the point that, frankly, everybody became consumed with Simmons and Embiid. We watched them, even though they meddle in mediocrity, like they are the rock stars of the NBA. And now they add another piece with Morey coming over as the president of basketball operations. This feels to me, guys, like we are looking at three celebrity chefs in one kitchen. You have a new head coach that has at times wanted some level of personnel control. You have Elton Brand still there saying, hey, this is my process that I've been building and that I was given charge of. And now you have Daryl Morey coming over and saying, well, we're going to do things my way. How that plays out might be the most interesting thing that the 76ers offer us. Yet again, I don't know if Philly's going to give us a great basketball team, especially with Brooklyn coming back in the East and as good as we know that they're going to be. I believe the East is going to be stacked next year, and I'm not sure how Philly separates themselves. Maybe they separate themselves, not with the play on the court, but at least with the conversation that's happening off the court. We all know that one of the best parts about the NBA is drama, and all eyes will be on Philly to figure out how much drama there is there by the end of the season. In 60 seconds, one matchup this weekend that matters more than you think in the NFL.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com, especially this fall. With all the debris collection, you'll find out about any delays or schedule changes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
Everybody knows I'm a Raiders fan. I don't hide it. But this weekend's Raiders-Browns matchup is key for the playoffs. I believe both teams are going to make the playoffs. But in a world of tiebreakers and in the world of chaos of COVID-19, I'm curious how this particular matchup plays out. Face it, the way that we overhype everything that happened on Sunday, by Monday, we will be all in on one of these teams and all out on the other. And the AFC is not going to be a cakewalk to get in. At this point, all eyes will be on the Raiders, who have a soft schedule after the Browns, and the Browns, who are trying to prove that they are legit. That is a matchup I think we're not hyping enough. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Jason Fitz.
Hey, Sagats, join us Friday. Tim Kirchick going to join us. It's Halloween. That means Tim Legler's going to join us. And Chris Jericho is back again, our celebrity prognosticator. He is on a heater right now. That's Friday on the Dan Le Batard Show with Beast of Gods on ESPN Radio.
5:36, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and on the all-new and improved KGYM app. If you haven't done so, check it out. Thursday Night Football coming up for you tonight, Alex, Atlanta and Carolina. Not exactly a barn burner. No Christian McCaffrey tonight for the Panthers. 2-point spread in that one. Carolina favored by 2. And speaking of point spreads, we're going to have one of our favorite guests with us tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, I should say. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports coming off yet another winning weekend, handing out some free plays to our listeners. We'll have Lee with us on the program, as well as Love It or Leave It, and plenty of Iowa Northwestern discussion to come tomorrow as well.
Yeah, tonight's game, though, call me crazy. I like the Falcons. I look at the Falcons and the Vikings so far this year as two teams that are inexplicably in the position that they're in. There is no reason that both of those teams should have lost some of the games that they have lost this year, and especially the way they have lost those games. Look at the Atlanta Falcons. Think about three of the losses they've had this year. Not being able to recover an onside kick against Dallas, standing around watching and allowing Dallas to come back and win the game. Blowing a 3-touchdown lead and letting Nick Foles come into the game against the Bears and take over. And then last week, we didn't get to discuss this, Todd. Todd Gurley scoring a touchdown, and when he was told, hey, don't go into the end zone because we're going to give the ball back to our opponent, who promptly drove down the field and won the game. Todd Gurley accidentally goes in for the score to make it a 6-point game, and they end up losing that game. So I think the Falcons are actually a pretty decent all around decent. Their defense isn't great. Their offense is pretty good. They've been pretty good all year, but they have found every possible way to lose games.
All right, 5:38. It is time for the face-off. If you have not won anything with us in the last 30 days, you are eligible for tonight's prize. It is a brand new Amazon Echo smart speaker, courtesy of us here at KGYM. All you need to do is answer 7 questions in 60 seconds, more than your opponent, and you will be our winner tonight. Buttons is going to push the magic button in front of him and unbusy the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Right now, we'll take callers number 1 and 2 for a chance to win an Amazon Echo. We hope that you use it. If you want to re-gift it, use it for a Christmas present. The holidays are right around the corner. I'm not going to judge. Other people here in the building, they may judge. I'm not going to judge. 319-366-1600 as we put Buttons to work. Alex, Buttons did a tremendous job the last 2 days here on the program as I was at home. And now it's back in the studio, and it's good to be here. It's much easier to run things here than it is remotely, but it's so nice to know that you have a competent set of hands that you can rely on, and Buttons is that guy here. He really has been doing a lot of stuff here behind the scenes for us ever since mid-March and deserves a little bit of praise for that. And he probably isn't even hearing this right now because he's on the phone with our contestants tonight for the showdown. Face off, whatever we call it.
You know how they talk about glue guys in sports? Buttons is the ultimate glue guy. He's the glue that keeps us all together. As you said, doing this remotely is tough. I've been doing it for a while now. You had to do it for the past couple days. It's awesome to know that we have the capabilities of adjusting on the fly to keep everybody as safe as possible. But yes, a lot of credit behind the scenes goes to Buttons. And I'm sorry to that texter who thinks that we talk about him too much.
I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not losing any sleep. I'm not losing any sleep over the way that you and I do things here on this show and some of the other things that you and I do. I think you and I actually know what we're doing, which is, it can be scary, kind of scary for a lot of people. We've got our contestants locked and loaded. We have for you tonight, Alex, looks like you are with Tom in Iowa City. Tom, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
All right, and David in Cedar Rapids is going to be answering my questions. David, how are you?
Good, thank you.
All right, so I talked about how great things were behind the scenes here, and all of a sudden now I have a little bit of an issue. I cannot find the stopwatch, so it's going to make things a little bit easier tonight because it's that ticking in the background that makes it much easier or much harder to answer the 7 questions in 60 seconds. So I will.
Can I help you out?
Yeah. Do you remember where it's at?
Just type in 60. I know this is great behind the scenes. Just type in 60 into the log. You will find it, and we will get to the 6 o'clock showdown. Because you will find that stopwatch.
1,000 things come up when I do that, though. So we're just going to have to, we're going to do this cold, no stopwatch. You guys are lucky. It makes it a little bit easier without hearing that ticking in the background. Tom, you and Alex figure out whether you would like to go first or last.
Tom, what do you think?
Let's go second.
Okay. Right. So Tom, remain quiet. You are on the line along with David. David, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get here where I can start the clock. 4 years ago today, I was at this game of the 2016 World Series.
Game 4, World Series.
That is correct. True or false, Tony La Russa both played and managed in Des Moines, Iowa?
True.
That is true. What year did the Dodgers last win the World Series?
1988.
That's correct as well. Name the only undefeated NFL team at this point in the season.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is correct. How many Big Ten football coaches that we know of so far have tested positive for COVID-19?
2.
That is correct. What star player will not play in tonight's Thursday night football game for the Carolina Panthers?
Christian McCaffrey.
That is correct. And what team is Iowa reportedly playing in this year's Big Ten ACC Men's Basketball Challenge?
North Carolina.
Alex, that's a Hall of Fame performance there. And it'll come with an asterisk, David, because it didn't have the timer or the stopwatch in the background ticking away. But I don't think it would have affected you anyway. Now, Tom?
I
Go ahead, Alex.
I kept time of it. He did it in 54 seconds.
He did an excellent job. Tom, you're playing for the tie here. If we have a tiebreaker, we will get a tie-breaking question for you. But, Alex, if you and Tom are ready, go ahead.
Tom, are you ready?
I am.
All right, here we go. What FCS team had Nebraska tried to schedule this week prior to the Big Ten stepping in and nixing it?
Tennessee Chattanooga.
Correct. Which two NFL teams play tonight?
Atlanta and Carolina.
Correct. Former Rockets general manager Daryl Morey signed this week to take over with this Eastern Conference NBA team.
76ers.
Correct. Within 2 years, when was the last time Tony La Russa managed the Chicago White Sox?
1985.
Correct. Which former Iowa State guard is expected to be a top 10 pick in next month's NBA draft?
Tyrese Halliburton.
Who was the World Series MVP?
Jeez. Pass.
Which former Indiana Hoosier is now quarterbacking Northwestern?
Peyton Ramsey.
Correct. And
Alex,
we ran out of time.
You ran out of time. And
you got 6 of 7. Wow. Unbelievable effort, Tom.
Unbelievable. That may have been the best that I have ever seen from anybody on the showdown. A 7-6 victory tonight. And David, congratulations. You get absolutely nothing for running the table and having a perfect performance. But 7-0 is 7-0. It's impressive whether it takes place with sound effects or not. Congratulations, David, our winner tonight. The first Hall of Fame performance we've had inside a face-off or showdown in quite some time. I think during the COVID era, Alex. I can't even remember the last time that we had somebody go 7-0, although members of that exclusive club on the text line will most likely remind me when it last occurred. They're like the 72 Dolphins out there watching and monitoring these undefeated teams. They like to keep the club exclusive. And David, you're now a member of the club. Congratulations. You're taking home that Amazon Echo smart speaker. And again, details on how you can listen to KGYM using a device like the Echo on our website, kgymradio.com.
The only thing that kept Tom from being a Hall of Famer, Corey Seager, was the World Series MVP.
I got to admit, when David ran the table, I was not exactly bending over backwards to get a tie-breaking question ready. And then I started to get extremely nervous here in the KGYM studios. But 7-6, Corey Seager, there you go. The only thing that prevented that's something we've never seen here inside the showdown. We've never had a 7-7 go up against one another. 5:47, congratulations again, David. We will play the face-off again next week. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will have about 6 or 7 minutes or so to wrap up a Thursday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show and give you an idea of what to expect tomorrow on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. More of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM after this.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
If Teresa Greenfield and the Democrats take over, the following will take effect. $4 trillion in job-killing taxes, government takeover of healthcare, packing the courts, dismantling police departments, surrender to the mob, surrender to China, and a march toward socialism. Teresa Greenfield and the left, they'll tear this country apart. Stop the liberal takeover. Vote Joni Ernst.
Paid for by Iowa Values Action, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.iowavaluesaction.com.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man in foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Other banks charge fees on savings and checking accounts. Doesn't sound good, does it? Capital One reimagined banking, so it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Friday with Greeny, it's a football Friday ahead of an enormous football weekend. Ohio State, Penn State get it started Saturday, and then a full slate of big games in the NFL. I'll be here to talk about it with you. It's Greeny, starting noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
550, happy to have you with us here on a Thursday night in Eastern Iowa, whether you're listening on 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, or on the brand new KGYM mobile app. Don't forget, stop by our website, kgymradio.com, to vote in today's poll question. Should the Big Ten have allowed Nebraska to play a non-conference football game this weekend? Huskers were originally scheduled to host Wisconsin. Wisconsin shutting its program down momentarily to halt the spread of COVID-19. Tried to line up a game with UT Chattanooga, and then things quickly fell apart after that. To me, the most interesting thing about this, Alex, is that it apparently did not cross the mind of Bill Moose, the athletic director in Lincoln, or anybody involved with that program, to run this by the Big Ten first.
Yeah, I'm not sure Bill Moose and the folks at the Big Ten maybe are on the best of terms. So from that aspect, maybe it doesn't surprise me a ton, but you would think that they would possibly know the rule. But also, I wouldn't put it past Nebraska to just go out and do this and just assume, oh, they'll let us. We'll just do it anyway. It's like this weird three-dimensional chess match, except not at all that sophisticated.
It is interesting because Sam McCowan, who's been on this program with us before, covers the Huskers for the Omaha World Herald, has a piece today. I'll just read the description here. This is from his Twitter account. There comes a moment in every marriage when you hit a rough patch. Before its 10th anniversary, Nebraska and the Big Ten has hit that patch. Well, what do you do if you're the Big Ten or if you're Nebraska? They clearly feel that the world and the conference has it out for them. And I just don't know how much longer the rest of the league can put up with them playing the victim card here.
Yeah, it's weird because I don't think Nebraska has any leverage whatsoever in this situation. They got in their shots and completely undermined everybody else, the chancellors, the commissioner of the Big Ten. And I think that took away every bit of relationship that they had with the conference. And I'm not sure. In fact, I'll go out on a limb and say it's not I don't think it's recoverable. I think that the damage has been done, and there's no repairing the fractures between the two sides, and something has to give. So what does Nebraska do?
Dan Wetzel at Yahoo has a similar column here as well. So apparently everybody on the same page when it comes to what to make of Nebraska's huffing and puffing over. Look, this game's not being played on Saturday because it's not necessarily the safest thing to do right now with an outbreak running rampant among the Wisconsin football program. As we mentioned, more positive results, 15 more positives in the last 4 days for the Badgers. They're up to 16 now. It does sound like a lot of them are on the coaching staff, and you stop and think, coaching staff, maybe they got a little lazy, stopped doing Zoom sessions. We're all in the same room, same meeting room. Doesn't take a genius to figure out that a communicable disease is going to spread pretty quickly in that type of setting. But this is for the good of the Wisconsin program. It's for the good of the Nebraska program. And quite frankly, it gets really sticky if you allow them to go schedule a non-conference opponent. And then how do you view that when an Iowa or a Minnesota plays 8 Big Ten games and Nebraska plays 7 and also UT Chattanooga, assuming that that game is a win? It makes things a little inequitable. The bottom line is you joined the Big Ten. You were the 12th member. Now there are 14 with the addition of Maryland and Rutgers, and Nebraska doesn't think of this as an equal partnership. They think that they have or deserve some extra say in the way that the conference does things and runs things. I saw a Nebraska fan earlier today saying that the conference wouldn't be playing football this fall if it weren't for the Huskers. Alex, that's just not true. It was the presidents of Michigan and Michigan State University, both of whom have medical backgrounds, who essentially helped push to get the season restarted. The false sense of entitlement among this fan base is just, it's hard for me to fathom at this point, and we've been dealing with it for a decade.
Yeah, it's not getting any better. In fact, I think with the way that the program is heading, it's getting worse, because that's exactly what it is. It's a false sense of entitlement, a false sense of confidence. And if you have that and you're able to kind of walk the walk and back up what you do, it's seen much better than when it's completely phony and it's I think almost actively turning into an inferiority complex with that team and that fan base.
Well, we do not have an inferiority complex here. As a matter of fact, this is a pretty darn superior program, in my opinion, between 4 and 6 on KGYM. And tomorrow is going to be no different. It is a Friday before an Iowa football game, the home opener for the Hawkeyes. We'll get you ready with more Iowa Northwestern discussion. Lee Sterling is going to stop by as well from Paramount Sports. Another winning week with Lee. Last week, he has only had one bad week so far this year with his free selections. He's going to weigh in on the Hawkeyes and the Wildcats. Iowa, about a 2.5-point favorite the last time that I checked. Iowa State, a huge favorite on the road at Kansas this weekend. That's on Lee's list of games to pick as well. Coming up for you tonight, we've got Thursday night football. It's the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. Local programming returns tomorrow at 3 with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class. Tune in then.
Make it a Redbox night with an edge-of-your-seat action thriller that can't be missed. Rent Ava, starring Jessica Chastain. Ava.